We welcome you back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. I'm here with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. And David, recently we listened together to a television preacher who used a lot of illustrations in his half-hour sermon. What did you think of him?
Actually, he was a very good speaker, and I would say that he used way more illustrations than most preachers do, but the good thing about his use of them was that they were all on target. So he knew exactly what he was going to say, and the repetition of those illustrations was very powerful. So I felt very comfortable with what he did. I have heard a lot of preachers who use illustrations, and I'm not quite sure why they use that illustration. And that may be because they didn't have clear in their mind exactly what it was they wanted to say. I had this feeling that this gentleman, there's no question he knew exactly what he wanted to say. I could repeat that. And all of those illustrations fit perfectly. And there was a certain, because he spoke a half hour, I'd say there were a lot of illustrations, but I didn't feel like they bogged him down. They actually helped him.
So he used illustrations or stories to underscore his main point. What else can illustrations do in a sermon?
Well, an illustration can clarify a point. If you're, say, teaching the difference between temptation and sin, you're going to be tempted, but the scripture says that you shouldn't let that temptation become sin. And a lot of times people have trouble understanding the difference between the two. So I think an illustration could help. I remember a gentleman preaching, he was saying about when he was a kid and he smelled the cookies. And as soon as he smelled the cookies, even though his mom had said, "You're not to touch those, they're for dinner tonight," he thought, "Wow, those cookies would really be good." Now, that's a temptation. It's when he begins to mull over that temptation and then it takes over him and he goes and takes one, that becomes a sin. So the illustration helps a person understand what it is you're talking about. That's one thing that an illustration can do. I have, because I don't tend to use a lot of illustrations, I've found that an illustration can help me grab the intense interest of my listening audience again. I don't usually have trouble keeping people's attention. Some people do. I've not felt that. I may feel differently if I were in the congregation listening to myself. I don't know. But for the most part, when I talk, I know that people are with me or they're not. And I also know that after a long time of didactic teaching, you may need an illustration just for a change of pace for your people because you've been pushing them pretty hard. You may need it to bring humor in because you've been incredibly intense. A lot of good drama is that juxtaposition of good humor with the intensity of a scene. And in Shakespeare, you'll get almost a murder scene and then followed by something funny just because the audience needs that relief point. So it can do that. There are a lot of things that an illustration can do. The thing that I don't like about illustrations is that when they become the tail that wags the dog. That makes sense?
Makes a lot of sense. You mentioned that you do not use a lot of illustrations in your sermons. Basically, how did you come to that decision in your sermon development?
I don't know what the reason is for that. I don't mind telling stories, and sometimes I've used extensive illustrations, but the illustrations are to support what you're saying. So I guess for me it's most important to say, what am I talking about? What is the response I want? How do I get people to do that? So a lot of times, a good part of my sermon is the how-to, and that's not necessarily illustration. I may give a how-to and then illustrate how somebody used that, but most people, when they say illustrations, they're thinking of stories or things that you pulled out of a book somewhere. I don't use a lot of those. Sometimes, in fact, when I use an illustration, I'm not even sure that people would see that as an illustration. It almost flows so perfectly with what is being said. But everybody has a different style. I would agree. I don't use a lot of them. I think that people would say the ones he does use fit exactly what he wants to say during that time.
And that's obviously very important. In terms of the preparation process when a preacher is getting ready to develop a sermon, where do you see looking for a good illustration fitting into that process?
You probably know how I'm going to answer this already. I think that I want to get the subject, the response, the how-to, and the how long. Those are not illustrations. Those are where I'm headed in the sermon. And once I have that, then sometimes I will actually ask myself, now, where would a good illustration fit into all of this? It may be that it fits the introduction. It may be the conclusion. It may be somewhere that needs clarification. But I know exactly what I'm going to say, and I put those all together. And then the question is, how do I make the illustration work for me? The opposite is kind of what I was hinting at before, where it's the tail that wags the dog, where I see sometimes I'll be at a conference or something, and a guy will use an illustration, and all through that group of ministers listening, you're seeing them all writing down notes because they think that's a whale of an illustration. I want to use that. And then they tend to build sermons around illustrations. I know there are many services that you can subscribe to that give you all kind of illustrations you can use. And I think sometimes ministers, they know the great value of a good story. So they're always looking for good stories. I tend to see that as backwards, you know. I think once I know where I'm going, at that point, I have enough resources to go to get illustrations. And if I say, I need an illustration that will do this for me. I did that just the other day, and I needed a closing illustration because I felt that everything was a little bit cerebral, and it needed to have a feeling to it. And I think I just need to get the emotion more into this, so I need an illustration that needs to say such and such. And when I thought, I need an illustration that needs to say such and such, almost instantly I had it. Just out of my background from all these years of doing sermons, I thought, I know what I'm looking for. That's it. That'll work perfectly. But I found that at the end, after the illustration is kind of the last type of thing you're putting on to the pieces. That's for me anyway. And I like it best that way, as opposed to, wow, that's a great illustration. Now I got to get a sermon to fit with that illustration. Okay. That's what I don't like. That's the tail wagging the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound to me like you're someone that keeps a file of good illustrations then.
People do, and you know what? I like the people who do, because sometimes if I can't find an illustration, I can call Mike, and I know he's got a whole list of
Okay.
Then I take advantage of the good work that he does. But that's very seldom. I have done that. I don't know if that's fair or not, but I think it's fair. But when I first went in ministry, I had a list of illustrations on dedication or prayer or all the rest. You know, but again, I tend to think that they are the kind of elements that become the tail that wags the dog. So I don't do that, no. I guess it depends on a person's preference. That's not my preference.
What would you see as an improper use of an illustration? Can you give us an example?
I have said already some of what might be. I think maybe an improper use would be an illustration to prove a point. And that happens every so often. I'll hear a person tell a story, and then they act as though that proved that this is a valid point. You know, illustrations only illustrate. They are not proof. And it bugs me when they do that, and that happens every so often. I think also that I sometimes find humor, I like humor, and there are people who use humor very beautifully. And sometimes I'm pretty good at it, rarely, but I am, and I've had audiences laugh, and it always makes me feel good. I think I can still use humor to a good, but sometimes I think guys throw in humor and it's forced, and I think that's using an illustration in a way that isn't helpful. That's all that comes to my mind right at the moment.
Can an average preacher keep people's attention for half an hour without a story or illustration every so often?
Well, you use the word average. Average preacher.
Okay.
maybe you should say, could an exceptional preacher do it without? I think you can preach a whole sermon without an illustration. That's going to take some remarkable preaching, and I don't think it's an ideal toward which I want to say. I'd love it if I could preach the whole sermon without using an illustration. Illustrations are wonderful. If they're used properly, they are very, very helpful. I don't think that the average person can do that, and that's not because the average preacher is no good. It's just because the average audience is not real good nowadays. People's attention spans are not real long, and so somewhere you have to say, how do I draw them back into what I'm saying so that I'm pushing pretty hard now? Do I need to let up a little, and will a story give me a chance for a breather that will help them just kind of appreciate what is going on? So I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say it's the ideal to preach a whole sermon without an illustration. At the same time, I wouldn't say it's an ideal to preach all illustrations with no sermon, if you put it that way.
Okay.
And I've heard guys who are just good storytellers, and they tell one story after another, and you're nodding your head yes, so you must, you understand what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Is this a place where you can bring relevant current events, current information into the sermon? In other words, if you do feel you need an illustration, can you look to the life that's going on around the people in your congregation and draw an illustration from that?
Sure you can. Billy Graham, if you are such that you're old enough that you remember his Our Decision programs, he always started with current events that were happening. In fact, it was the newspaper and the Bible that he put together in such a wonderful way. And he would draw people in with a very good introduction as to what was happening in the world. Maybe people he had met with who were names everybody understood. He never went so far as to divulge things that were said necessarily. But you always got this feeling that he was on top of what was happening in terms of the world today. And then he would bring God's perspective into it. So all those are very helpful. I do what I call sound bites. And that I purposely try every week on our Sermon Coach website to come up with two ways, just as illustrations of how current events can tie into what is going on in a sermon, in a pastoral prayer, in the announcements, whatever. Because I think sometimes people come to church and it's like a world that is totally devoid of what's happening apart from church. You know, and it's like people, and then you refer to something like what's happening in Iran or Israel or something. Wow, he reads the same paper as I do. It's kind of like, oh, he's in the same world. I like that. And I like just remaining current in that regard. So they can do that not only for a sermon, they can do that for other parts of the service as well. And that's very pleasurable to me. I like it when a minister gives me the impression that he lives in the same world in which I'm living. That's a good thing in my mind.
So illustrations can serve a good purpose if they're chosen properly, and if they're chosen improperly, in other words, if we let the tail wag the dog, it can spell doom on a sermon as far as effectiveness is concerned.
As far as effectiveness, and I'm glad you said that, because there are a lot of people who will listen, they would listen to a whole series of illustrations, and when it's all done, they will say, I enjoyed that. You know, that was really fun to hear what was said, or he was funny as could be. That's not what preaching is about. Preaching is giving God's word in a way that people can apply it and their lives can be transformed. So whether a person likes my sermon as far as, I'm not an entertainer. You know, when I try to compete with an entertainer, I'm in trouble because I'm not that good an entertainer. But communicating God's truth, that's what's important. And illustrations are helpful, again, as long as they don't be, and you'll know as a pastor, if this is the thing that's driving me, how do I find a good story? You know, that's not how you're putting the sermon together, is to find the good story. You know, you're not a book of sermon illustrations that you give to people, but you're giving God's word in the best possible way you can, which includes illustrations. And again, they serve you, you don't serve them.
Where are we going next?
I'd like to talk not about the sermon for a while. I'd like to talk about the service and how what is in the sermon relates to the rest of the service, because I find a lot of times ministers see preparing their sermon as kind of the end-all, do-all, and somebody else takes care of the rest of the service. And that's a very sad thing. I think that service should be a unit that fits together beautifully, all wrapped around the sermon. How to think of it as a whole, and the minister's part in that is where I'd like to go.
Very good. We invite you to come back and be with us again on our next SermonCoach.com podcast. And as always, we invite you to come to the website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources to help pastors
If they're looking, Dean, for the file of where all the illustrations, the good illustrations are, we don't have a file.
We don't have a file of those.
No.
But one of the things we do have a file is we have a file of lots of sermon starters that illustrate the very things we're talking about. And we invite you to come to sermoncoach.com, sermon-coach.com, and we invite you to join us again for our next podcast.